You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
On today's show, Bubba Carpenter's in studio. We talk about the Razorback series win over Tennessee over the weekend. They're the number two seed at the SEC tournament. We'll look ahead to that. We'll give you our all-SEC teams, a lot more. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
I think this last weekend might be Arkansas's most impressive series win of the year. I mean, you could look at beating Texas and sweeping them in Fayetteville, and certainly that, you know, I mean, I would hear a case for that. I would hear a case for Vanderbilt sweeping them, especially the way Vanderbilt's played down the stretch here. But when you just take everything into consideration, the fact that Arkansas's ace did not pitch well on Thursday night, the fact that you have what is probably the SEC pitcher of the year pitching on game two, and then you come back and you beat a team that's hitting the way Tennessee did, I thought it was a real gut check moment for the Razorbacks, and I thought that they passed the test over the weekend at Baum.
Yeah, I think it shows a lot. First of all, we're a good team. Second of all, we're a team full of, I mean, I guess the best way to describe it is dirt bags. And in baseball, if you're a dirt bag,
it's a term of endearment.
That's a really good thing. And they're just tough. Mm-hmm. And they find a way to win. And that says a lot about the team. You look at the starting pitching. You know, you got nine innings out of your starters. The bullpen stepped up huge. I think of teams in the past where Dave's circle of trust is really small this time of year. Look at all the guys in the bullpen that contributed this weekend. It's pretty impressive. I was a little nervous coming into Friday's game, the way Thursday went. Nothing went our way. We didn't play. I thought we played bad. I didn't think we played well. We're facing Doyle. But I told Dave before the game, I said, hey, we're gonna. I can't say exactly what I said, but basically I said, we're going to light this dude up. I just felt really good about it because – I don't know. I just did, and boy, we went out and hammered the ball against him. It was impressive. And then, I don't know. From there on, it just seemed like everything fell our way.
Van Horn said seeing Cade Anderson the week before helped them get ready for Doyle.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, did you see a similarity in how those two pitch? I know they're both left-handed, but just in terms of what they throw and how they throw.
Yeah, they both good fastball, high carry fastball at the top of the zone. I was talking about the scouting report for Doyle. And I think it was described as a plus-plus fastball, plus-plus carry on his fastball, which is something I haven't seen a lot of plus-plus carry on a scouting report before. And so I thought that. But he's unique, and he's a good one. But I love the way we approached him, and, man, it was fun to watch. Like, I love watching. They say good pitching beats good hitting. I think good hitting can beat good pitching with the right approach, and we went out with the right approach and hammered him.
You know, I used that quote, by the way. You're rubbing off on me. I used that quote. Ethan was in here last week talking about the softball regional between Arkansas and Oklahoma State, and he said something about good pitching, and I said good hitting beats good pitching with the right approach.
So, I like it. Yeah, give me some. I like it.
So you've you know, you hear something enough times. It's kind of like, you know, when your dad tells you something enough times, it's gonna be ingrained in you.
Well, so it's May 19th. I'm glad it finally sank in.
Here we are, 4 years into this podcast, and I'm repeating Bubba. But Tennessee's good. Let me take this back. Their offense is really good.
Yeah.
I can't figure out. I mean, I can. It's their pitching and it's their defense. But I guess if I'm a Tennessee fan, I'm really frustrated with this team because that offense ought to be – you ought to be a top-five team with that type of lineup. It's just they can't get it done on the mound, and they make really dumb plays in the field.
Okay, they don't do the little things. Watch them play. Watch a whole game and then watch a Razorback game. And they don't do the little things, Matt. Their defensive positioning, I think, is bad. Whoever doesn't do it in their scouting reports, bad. I mean, we took advantage of it a few times. They don't field the ball well. They don't throw the ball well. They don't run the bases well. You know, but you're right. If you look at their lineup, top to bottom, they're comparable to our team. There's not a lot of weak. There's no weak links really in that lineup. They're tough from top to bottom. But they just don't do those little things that Dave Van Horn teams do. They don't focus enough on the little things. And I think the little things turn into big things, and therefore it turns into losses.
And they folded like an accordion after that balk call the other day. I mean, it totally – you could just see it. It just totally deflated that team. Van Horn said he thought it was a balk from the side. I've watched it like 10 times. I don't see it, but I'm not 100% sure what I'm looking for either. Obviously Vitello and Frank Anderson. I mean, I don't know if you saw Frank Anderson. Somebody like literally got a hold of him and threw him back into the dugout. I thought they were going to break him. Really? I don't know if it was Luke Bonfield or one of their other assistant coaches, but I mean, literally he like stumbled down the steps and gathered himself once he hit that bottom step. He got so mad about the ball call. But you know, I mean, after that point, error, walk, grand slam. I mean, it unfurled on them in a hurry.
It did. But don't you think that's kind of a reflection of their head coach? And look, I've said it all along. It's hard not to like Tony Vitella. Good recruiter, good coach. But some of the stuff he does rubs off on his team.
You're talking about being emotional.
Being
wearing your emotion on your sleeves.
Being over emotional. You can't have the highs and lows. Like one minute he's joking around with his team, laughing, and next minute he's screaming at an umpire over it might be I think it was three batters in on Friday. He's already out there on the field yelling at the umpire about something. And you know, I joked with Phil about the what was the over under on when his first meltdown was going to be that day. But I just don't think you can go. Baseball, you've got to be even keel. You got to, show emotion, but, they take it to another level, and you see it in their players. Curley at second base, I mean, the dude can swing it, and he's going to probably play at the next level, but he's got to find a new position. He's not very good defensively at second. And
like 17 errors, right? Something like
oh,
that.
Oh, it's some crazy number. But, I mean, his footwork's wrong. The way his glove presents his glove to field a ground ball, everything he does defensively is wrong. And you watch our guys, and we're so fundamentally sound. And I watch guys between innings, watch how they field. It says a lot about a player. And, yeah, they just it's just those little things, Matt. And I see them add up and – I don't know. But the talent's there. The talent's definitely there. And I just don't know. I just think you've got it. It's about discipline. It's about doing the little things, and then they don't do them.
Arkansas won 8-4 on Saturday. This is what Dave Van Horn had to say after the game about winning the series.
Well, obviously, just getting a win to win the series was, our main concern today. And I thought we did just enough. We played solid defense, and we didn't give them much. Walked them four times, but they walked us more than that, and they made an error. And in that inning, we ended up scoring five runs, and we've been good at that. If we get an extra at bat, or maybe something like that starts a rally. But good job by our offense early in the game. Staying in the zone, laying off borderline pitches early in the count, getting pitch counts up, and in some cases getting a better pitch to hit or even taking a walk. And, when you score five runs in one inning, sometimes it's hard to overcome that if you're in the other dugout. And I think that's kind of what went on today. As far as pitching-wise, I felt like Gage had really good stuff, just wasn't locating quite the way we were hoping. Give Tennessee credit. They fouled off pitches and they worked him and got his pitch count up there. And then we had like a 30-minute inning. So we decided that we better get him. And Landon gave us two really good innings. The third inning, you can see by the numbers, the fastball went from 92, 93, 94 to 90. And I think he got us an out there and then a walk and a homer. And we had Will ready to go, and Will pitched great. Just filling up the zone with fastballs, cutters, and curveballs, and did a tremendous job because their lefty came in and shut us down pretty good there at the end. And it almost looked like both teams were getting a little tired, to be honest with you. But yeah, big win for us.
So Arkansas finishes the regular season 43-12 overall, 20-10 in the SEC. They're going to be the number two seed at the SEC tournament. They'll play Friday at 3 o'clock. That's when the game is scheduled. Of course, you know how things can go in Hoover. But scheduled to play Friday at 3. They'll either play Ole Miss, Florida, or South Carolina. So it'll be a rematch. They played all three of those teams in the regular season. And, you know, not that I think there was really a whole lot of doubt, but if there was any doubt, beating Tennessee clinches you a top eight seed at the NCAA tournament. I mean, I think they're second nationally in wins. RPI is good, top five, strength of schedule. Really, the strength schedule improved a lot by playing Tennessee this weekend. It went up into the top 13, I think. Or let me put it this way. It was 13th at the end of the series. I don't know where it is right now. But, you know, the resume is really good for this team. And I said before, LSU and Tennessee, I thought if they went maybe 2-4 over that stretch, that'd be enough to get them a top eight seed. They go 3-3, and if you even want to backtrack a week, it's a 6-3 stretch to close the season against Texas, LSU, and Tennessee. All three of them have been ranked number one this year, and one of those losses was after 1 o'clock in the morning in a game that was literally just flip a coin.
Yeah, I think did you think we had a top eight seed if we lose the series, two out of three?
If they got swept, I think I would have been a little bit more doubtful about it. I think even going 1-2 probably would have done it for them.
Yeah.
I don't think the tournament selection committee looks at the series wins the way other people do. I think that they're more concerned about total wins, RPI, strength of schedule, quad one wins, and they were pretty good in all those metrics.
I don't know. I was glad to win the series, get to 20 wins. To me, I think it's just the accomplishment of getting to 20 wins is really, really big. People don't realize how hard that is.
We're going to get into that. I've got some data here about 20 wins. I asked Dave Van Horn afterward. I said, do you think you've done enough to clinch home field advantage in the postseason? And this is what he had to say.
20 wins in our league. That's probably the main thing. And that's probably the main thing.
Yeah, so 20 wins in the SEC. You have to go back to South Carolina in 2016 to find the last time that an SEC team won 20 league games and did not get a top eight national seed. I think the SEC is probably going to get at least four top eight seeds, maybe five. We'll see how the committee views Auburn after what happened in their last series against Ole Miss, but they'd been really hot up until that point. You win 20 in the SEC. Heck, I think you win 18 in the SEC, and that's a big number in the committee's mind.
Yeah, I think so. I love Dave's answer right there. I kind of chuckled to myself the first time I heard that. When you asked that question, he's like, yeah. I mean, it was one of the shortest sound bites that we've had. But
very sure of himself.
Yeah, but he's right. I mean, I guess there's no need to elaborate on it. He's like, yeah, we've done enough.
Let the record and the resume speak for itself.
Yeah.
You don't have to get out there and that's the thing, is you get a lot of coaches out there this time of year, and they're politicking for themselves. Look at us. I bet Tennessee's probably going to be saying, hey, you know, look at the schedule we played. Yeah. We should be a top 16 regional host. And Arkansas didn't have politic for themselves because, again, 43-12 and 20-10 in the SEC, top five RPI, everything, you know, that I've mentioned, 14-9 in quad one games, it all speaks for itself. There's not a lot you have to say about it.
Yeah, I think you look at – you just said it, finishing up 6-3, going back to the Texas series. That's some pretty good teams you're playing right there. So I think the finish up like that says a lot about this team. I mean, it could have easily gone the other direction, but this team's not going to allow that.
Okay. So I wrote Saturday, Arkansas had a healthy helping of mac and cheese, I actually had something else written and, went a little bit different way, but anyway, mac and cheese slowed down Tennessee, Landon Bynum. She's two really good innings out of the bullpen. And then McIntyre, you realize Will McIntyre has the lowest ERA in SEC-only games this year, 1.44 ERA. Now, he's only pitched in seven games, but he has qualifying innings.
Yeah.
Because when he has pitched, he's gone for, you know, usually about 2 to 3-something innings. He's got the lowest ERA in the SEC. And the other day against Tennessee, I think puts him back into, you know, because we haven't seen him a whole lot in SEC weekends. Now, all of a sudden, I feel like you have to bring him back and pitch him in some sort of meaningful role, because what he did against that lineup, I mean, Bubba, they had like 36 hits in 23 innings before he came in.
Yeah.
And 20-some-odd runs. And then he just absolutely shuts them down. And it wasn't like he's getting lucky. I mean, it was 29 of 39 pitches were strikes. Really had that, you know, slider, whatever you want to call it, working. It was as good as I think we've seen him pitch in maybe 2-3 years.
I think so. Before we talk about Will, though, I want to go back to Friday's game, Cole Gibler.
Yeah.
I think Cole's outing, because Aiden was giving up some hard-hit balls. Yep. I mean, they were on him pretty good. Even some of the balls that we caught, they had several hard-hit balls. Cole came in 3 1/3. I mean, didn't give up a run, gave up 3 hits, but they had no answer for his slider. I mean, they didn't. There was one inning, his second inning, he threw one fastball, the rest sliders, because, you know, I'm saying on the broadcast, I'm like, look, they can't hit that thing. Why even throw a fastball? If you throw it out of the zone just to show it and come back in. So I thought that was one of the keys to slow down the Tennessee offense on Friday. But back to your point about McIntyre, he was incredible. And I was fortunate enough to be able to talk to him after the game. I interviewed him after the game as the player of the game. And, you know, to me, it's just so fitting that he finished up that series, last home series, regular season. He's been here 6 years, and he was fired up. And, you know, a little bit emotional at the end, but, man, it was just awesome to talk to him. You know, his family's out there. They're super proud of him. I thought it was great. And I liked how he responded to – you can respond to some of the BS that goes on, you know.
Like taking your helmet off and going to get a new helmet, 0-2?
0-2 count, you go get a new helmet, 0-2 count. All of a sudden, you've got to go get sticky stick or pine tar on your bat. You know, just so much crap that they do. And you can let it affect you, or you can do what he did, bow your neck and shove, and that's what he did. And I loved his, you know, I loved what he said after one of those strikeouts, because, I mean, that's how you handle it. The way he handled it, that's how you go about it.
Yeah, you saw they put the video up yesterday on the baseball account. He said, "Woo pig suey."
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if that's what I must have misread his lips, but yeah, that's probably what he was saying.
Yeah, how mad does that make you as a pitcher whenever you have that kind of stuff going on?
Oh, if I was out there on the mound, I don't know. I'd be torn between, do I want to strike this guy out or do I want to put one in his ribs? Because, I mean, it's just, look, there's things happen, and sometimes there's a time for an offensive timeout. A couple of quick outs. You're trying to give your pitcher some rest. This is just straight bush league. It really is. That's all it is. It's them trying to get into the pitcher's head. And I don't know. I don't like it at all. I don't like that style of baseball. Mm. To me, that's not playing the game the right way. But, you know, I think sometimes it probably works in their advantage, or they wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
But I love the way the Razorback pitchers, they didn't let it affect them at all. And especially McIntyre just went out there and shoved, which is awesome.
Arkansas only got 9 innings out of their starting pitchers during this series against Tennessee. It's actually the second time this year they've won a series where they've got 10 innings or less. It happened against Ole Miss, too. And I think it's the fourth series where they've had their starting pitchers combined pitch less than 10 innings. That's a concern moving forward. But what they did get was they got a ton of great bullpen performances. You mentioned Gibler. We talked about McIntyre. I said, you know, Beidelschies. That was 2 good innings out of him. I thought Christian Fouch pitched pretty well. I mean, he threw 2 times during the series. So, you know, I mean, they are finding ways to make this work, and they're finding ways to keep themselves competitive. Take the LSU series out of the equation because they were down 0-2 going into the last day. They're finding ways to be in these series and have a chance to take them by game 3. This is what Dave Van Horn said, though, whenever he was asked about the outlook for the series when they had to take Aiden Jimenez out after 2 1/3 innings on Friday and knowing that the bullpen was going to have to carry a mighty load. This is what he had to say.
Well, I think it shows that we have guys that can get it done in the bullpen, and you know it doesn't always have to be the guys that have been doing it all year long. Other guys have to step up, and usually, you know, to play for a while, you have to have maybe one guy just really come on for you, whether it's an arm or a hitter that maybe was, you know, okay during the year, but now he's just stepped it up. There's a lot of those stories over the years of teams that play all the way to Omaha.
And I was thinking as he said that, I was kind of going back through my mind of all the different Arkansas teams that I've covered. Like, you know, 2009, Bo Bigham stepped up toward the end of the year. He's a freshman, but
yeah,
you know, he's playing, you know, significant second base. Michael Turner, 3 years ago, think about how he stepped up in the postseason. There's just, you know, there is a story or two like that for every one of these teams that have made it to Omaha. I wonder if McIntyre's going to be that story this year.
Could be. He was incredible. I mean, they just I liked how he worked his – I mean, we all know about the cutter. Everyone in the league knows that he's been here 6 years. They know about the cutter. But I liked how he used his fastball and the slower breaking ball with it. And he might have mixed in a changeup, but I liked how he worked that slower breaking ball in with the cutter and then, you know, slowed him down with the off-speed stuff, and then he would surprise him with the fastball. Plus, he was locating. That's the key. I mean, he was locating the fastball and the cutter. So it was fun to watch.
Speaking of cutter, Will McIntyre tied Kevin Copps for seventh on the career strikeout list at Arkansas.
That's pretty cool.
And, you know, you might look at it and say, oh, well, you know, Will's been here forever. You look at his years, I mean, barely played in 20, didn't play in 21, didn't play until, like, mid to late April in 22, and hadn't pitched a whole lot this year. I mean, for somebody that has not pitched just a ton and doesn't have a high-velocity fastball, I think what he's done from a strikeout standpoint has been really amazing, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't think the first time I saw Will McIntyre pitch, I would have thought, hey, that guy's going to be a top 10 strikeout guy in Razorback history.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. He's hardworking. He's tough. Toughness overcomes a lot, and I think he's tough. I think he's mentally tough, and I think he feeds off of some of the stuff that Tennessee was doing. I think fires him up. I think he pitches better when he's got that little edge out there. So there's your growl for you.
Ding ding.
Go
ahead.
No, that's it.
On Doyle, I want to go back to something you said earlier about the approach they had against him, because, you know, what they talked about afterward, they said it was about laying off the high pitch and then waiting for him to throw his fastball down in the zone and being ready for it. And it looked like, you know, that was certainly the case. He'd never given up that many runs. He'd never given up that many home runs, and he'd never given up that many hits.
Well, in the first inning, we swung at a few high fastballs. After that, I think we did a great job of laying off that. Then he had to come down in the zone, and we hammered his fastball. And, you know, he went 4 2/3 by – what, probably the third inning, he almost, I didn't say quit throwing the fastball, but he was throwing like 3-1, you know, off-speed pitches. Mm. I mean, he just got away from the fastball because every time he threw it, we freaking hammered it. And it was just fun to watch. It was a lot of fun to watch. And you could see him melt down on the mound. I mean, his face is all red. He just looked like at the beginning of the game, I mean, his swagger out there on the mound, you know, he was just strutting around like a little peacock. He owned the place. But by the third inning, you could just see it on his face. I don't know if you ever watched the broadcast. Watch a guy, and his body language totally changed. I said it, I think, in the second inning. Just how he all of a sudden, especially into the third inning, how he just looked different. Like his whole cadence, his body language, his shoulders were drooping, his face is all red, and just – I don't know. He was frustrated. I don't think he'd ever been hit like that.
I think it might have been one of our photographer, Hank Layton, got a great picture the other night. It might have been when one of Arkansas's hitters were running around the bases for a home run. Anyway, yeah, his face is red. He's got his hat propped up on top of his head like Gomer Pyle.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could just – it's one of those pictures – tell 1,000 words. You could really see the frustration on his face.
Yeah, I mean, and you can see a lot. I used to do that back in the day when I would step up to the plate and I would look. I would always look at the pitcher, look at his face, and you can tell who's getting ready to get after you and who's a little bit, you know, dry mouth, a little bit, not wanting to get after it. You can tell. It's easy, and the more you see it, the more you can pick it out. And, boy, it was easy to see when Doyle started getting crushed.
All right, we got a lot more to go. We're going to look ahead to the SEC tournament that begins tomorrow down in Hoover. Got some data to tell you about 20 win seasons in the SEC and how rare Arkansas, what they've done here is. And we're going to give you what we think are our all-SEC teams, the all-SEC teams, Coach of the Year, Player of the Year, all of those awards come out this week. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. I want to tell you, too, you can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports, analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Lots of softball coverage today at our website after the softball team clinched their ticket to the Super Regional last night. You can subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. I want to tell you, too, the Arkansas men's track and field team won an SEC championship over the weekend, so congratulations to them. This is setting up to be kind of a big week slash weekend. What baseball did, softball did, men's track wins an SEC title. Women's golf has somebody in first place going into the NCAA championship final round today. So sweet. kind of a neat collection of success that the Razorbacks have got going on this week. SEC tournament begins tomorrow. Down in Hoover, it's going to begin at 9:30 in the morning. Alabama and Missouri are going to play each other. Other games tomorrow in Hoover. Oklahoma plays Kentucky. Florida plays South Carolina. That's a game we're all going to be interested in because Arkansas could potentially play the winner of that game. And then in the finale, Mississippi State and Texas A&M. Florida, South Carolina, by the way, is scheduled to begin around 4:30 Central on SEC Network. But, of course, if you've been watching the SEC tournament for any time at all, you know that extra inning games, rain delays, it all can push the schedule back quite a bit. Tennessee, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Auburn will play in the second round on Wednesday. And then the top four seeds at the tournament, Texas, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and LSU, they get a bye to the quarterfinal round. Arkansas going to play at 3 o'clock on Friday on SEC Network against either Ole Miss, Florida, or South Carolina. When you look at the bracket, I wonder what you think, in particular, Bubba, about those three teams that Arkansas could potentially play because we've seen them all this year.
Yeah, I think the team that worries me the most, honestly, is Florida. They're so banged up. They've got a bunch of injuries, but they find ways to win. I think they're hot right now. That's the team that you worry just a little bit about. They've got huge arms, starters. They got dudes coming out of the bullpen. They're real athletic. Hey, can I say one more thing about this series?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I got to get this off my chest. You actually sent me a text about the Rocky Top.
When
they played it. Hats off. So, like, when a good player makes a good play, gets star. Phil every once in a while throws me a star if I say something that he likes. Jimmy Sanchez deserves a star. When he played Rocky Top, when Tennessee's walking off the field, it was awesome. Place went crazy. The fans that were still there were going nuts. I thought that was a huge thing. I thought it was hilarious. So anyway, hats off to Jimmy Sanchez. Now we can get back to the tournament.
Jimmy's also the run. I think it was running the board when they played Rocky Top when they beat the football team.
Really?
Razorback Stadium back in October.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Where are we at? Oh, I know. SEC tournament.
Yeah.
You look at this. I take it the team who I think has got the best path to the championship game, and they'd potentially have to go through Arkansas to get there, though. I mean, when you've only got to play a three-day weekend and you've got the top two starters that LSU has, I mean, that feels like they've got – I would say that they've probably got the best path to the title game just based on the way their starting pitching has gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. I was just looking at who they could possibly play. You know, I would think Auburn would probably be the team that they're going to end up matched up against. But, you know, that they'll throw Anderson against them, so we know who we're going to see. And he did really well against us, kind of carved us up, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's going to be a good matchup.
Well, they could play – LSU could play either Auburn or Mississippi State or Texas A&M. A&M, I think they're a team – yeah, I mean, I could certainly see them going 0-1 in Hoover, but they're the team I think everybody's going to be watching down there to see, do they get on a run? And then, you know, we've seen with that lineup when they're clicking, they're really good. It's just a matter of, you know, it seems like the wheels have fallen off the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. Lavalette's in a little bit of a funk. I think he struck out 9 of the last 10 at bats, something like that. He's been in a funk, and when he's struggling, you know, they kind of go as he goes, the team goes, and it hadn't been going well for him. So, you know, I like the guy. I love the way he plays the game. Hope he figures it out. But
I like this format in Hoover.
I do too. I didn't know if I'd like it when they first mentioned when I first saw what they were going to do. I didn't know if I'd like it or not. I guess I like it because we're a top four seed, and it's just like a regular weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a weekend series almost.
How do you think Arkansas is going to approach this from a pitching standpoint? Because, you know, we've seen them when they go down there before that they use it as a way to kind of pull back the reins a little bit on the starting pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
When you've had starting pitchers who haven't been getting as deep into games, I wonder, do you approach it a little bit differently?
I don't know. I think they're going to run Zach out there on Friday and, you know, hopefully get 4 or 5 innings out of him. If he doesn't have it, they'll go to the pen quick, I think. But I think they want to kind of get him back on track. And look, everyone's like, oh, he's you know, he's scuffling. You got to remember, he's faced a few really good lineups. So,
yeah.
You know, and your margin for error when you're facing a good team like Tennessee, you hang a pitch. The thing I noticed over the weekend, if you make a mistake and leave something over the plate, those guys don't miss it. Now, if you execute your pitch, you can get them out. But, I mean, that's good pitching. But if you make a mistake, get ahead of them 2 strikes, they don't chase a lot of pitches out of the zone, and they wait for you to make a mistake. And when you make a mistake, they hit it hard. But back to your question, I think Dave's – I mean, we're going to run Zach out there, I think, and hopefully get a good start from him. But a lot of weapons out of the bullpen, and I think we'll use them on Friday in order to get to that Saturday game.
It's always interesting to see how teams and sometimes a program will approach this differently year to year. I mentioned Hagan Smith. He threw 36 pitches at the SEC tournament last year against Kentucky. The year before when they were playing LSU, he threw 76. And then LSU, they had Paul Skeens that year. He threw 88 at the SEC tournament. So I feel like this is very unpredictable what they're going to do with their starting pitching.
Yeah. I think if Zach had been dealing every week – they'd go out and give him 40 pitches,
mm-hmm.
maybe 50 max, just to get him some work in and then get him out. And they may still do that just to keep him fresh for the following week. But I think they won't. I think a lot of it, Matt, has to do with if he's executing his pitches. If he's out there dealing, executing his pitches, and they see what they want to see, then they may get him out a little early than normal just to get him rested, ready for the regional.
Okay, let's go to 20 SEC wins now, because I know this is something you're wanting to talk about, and it's something I'm wanting to talk about too. 5 of 6 years, Arkansas has won 20 or more SEC games, and we talked about 20 SEC wins. That's kind of the magic number, and it will get you a national seed, a top 8 national seed a lot of times. Arkansas, the first program to do this since the SEC went to – I actually think they're the first team that's ever done it regardless of it, but I only look back to 1996, which is when – the SEC began a 30-game regular season schedule. Arkansas, the only team to win 20 or more in 5 of 6 seasons. Last year, they were the first team to do it in 4 of 5 seasons. So it's not like there's even another team that's done this,
yeah.
You know, anywhere near what they've done. Only one other team has won 20 3 years in a row. Arkansas has done it the last 3. LSU from 1996 to 98, the only other team that's done that.
Okay, so the league was good in, you know, back in the 90s, but I don't think it's what it is now.
The pitching's not the same.
Yeah,
the bats were hot in the 90s.
Yeah,
the pitching wasn't the same.
I think now – I think it's it's even better to win. It's harder to win 20 now than it was then. I mean, I really do. I mean, there is really not an easy weekend. Now, you can look at Missouri and say, okay, yeah, you know, you can chalk up three wins unless you just totally lay an egg. But I just think it's – and it goes back to the – you. I got on a rant a couple of weeks ago about the Blue Blood program. I mean, we are a Blue Blood program. I don't care about winning the national championship, all that. That's not what it takes to be a Blue Blood program. If you Google the definition of Blue Blood, that's the Arkansas Razorback baseball team. And it's tough, Matt. And I think it's really impressive what we've been doing the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Really since 2017.
Yeah, I came on in 18, and I know since 2018, I mean, it's been incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really has.
It's a golden era of Arkansas baseball. I don't think there's any doubt about it. They may have not had, you know, all of the postseason success, but even during that time, they've been to 3 College World Series, a couple of times to the semifinals, once obviously to the championship. You know, looking through this, the schools and the teams, you know, when they've won 20, Arkansas had only won 20 one time prior to 2019, and then now they're all of a sudden they're tied for third most 20-win seasons. During the 30-game era. Florida's done it 10 times. LSU's done it 8. LSU hadn't done it since 2017, by the way, which was really surprising. Even that 23 team, remember, they kind of fell off at the end, and Arkansas ended up winning the West. Alabama's done it 6 times, but most of that was done in the late 90s and early 2000s. So Arkansas tied for third. And then Dave Van Horn is one of 4 coaches who has done this 5 times, a 20-win SEC season. The others, Kevin O'Sullivan did it 6. Tim Corbin has done it 5. And Jim Wells, the former Alabama coach, did it 5. And then you look at some of these, you know, it's like, well, when you think somebody like Mike Bianco, you know how many 20-win seasons Mike Bianco's had?
Not very many.
One. One. One 20-win season, and it happened in 2009. Rob Childress was in the SEC for a long time. One 20-win SEC win season. You know, Norm DeBrien was in the SEC for a while. One. You know, I mean, some of these other names on here, Ron Polk. Now, this doesn't take into consideration what he did, you know, in the earlier years at Mississippi State, but he was in the SEC for about 13, 14 seasons in the 30-game era, one time with 20 wins. Jim Schlossnagel's been here for the last 4 years, has had really good teams. This is the first team that he has had that had a 20-win season. So I think all of that tells you it's pretty darn hard to do this.
Yeah, I think that's good research, by the way, Matt. That's impressive.
Well, it was raining yesterday.
Wasn't it? Yeah. No, I go back to saying, you know, it's just what this program is. I mean, we go out year in and year out, and I hope the fans, no matter what happens in a regional, super regional, look, we all want to get to Omaha. We've created a monster where if we don't get there, fans think it's a disappointing year. I don't. I think if we lose the regional, I'm still going to look at this team and be like, wow, this was a good team. This team was fun to watch. Man, it's been a blast. And you and I were talking before, and I just wanted to bring this up. I was really struck, and I mean, I knew it, but I brought it up on the broadcast on Saturday. Looking at our starting lineup going into Saturday's game, we got 8 guys hitting over 300. The only one not over 300 was Reese Robinette, who a couple days before was over 300. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you want to put Carson Bowles in there, then you got 9 guys hitting over 300. I went back and looked at the 2018 team. We had 4 guys hitting over 300 on that 2018 team. I don't need to say their names. You probably know who they are, but that's incredible. And you can go total stats or you can go just SEC stats, and the numbers don't change a whole lot. I mean, it's pretty impressive what this team's doing offensively. And then the pitching's good too, but I just feel like in the past we've relied so much on pitching, not enough on offense. And, man, you gotta be able to score runs because you're going to run up against a dude and you got to be able to chip away and find a couple runs, or you're going to have a starter like Hagan Smith did and have a bad start in a regional, and you got to have your offense bail you out.
And sometimes you're going to have hitters who aren't performing. I mean, think about And the Aloy brothers, they didn't have a great weekend against Tennessee. But offensively as a whole, you would say Arkansas had a good weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it's not what you hit, it's when you hit. And their hits were big when they got them. Yep. They were big. I thought Vahiva's home run to center, getting us the 5-run lead, mm-hmm. I think that was the dagger right there that kind of put an end to them.
There's just a lot of length to this lineup. And mm-hmm. I don't know that – I saw it some in the preseason. I don't know that I thought it would be this deep. I thought maybe it'd be 6-7. I don't know that I thought it would be – I mean, even Justin Thomas has given them, you know, some good at-bats down in the 9-hole.
I've bragged so much on Justin Thomas because to have a 9-hole hitter doing what he's doing,
yeah.
I mean, 315 – batting average, but on base percentage, leading the team. I would assume he's still leading the team. He was going into, yeah, he's still leading the team and on base percentage. Having a 9-hole hitter, but he's got power. And when he gets on the base, he's such a threat. He's a true, what DVH says, a second leadoff man. And
he had a terrible swing the other night. Did you see this? The first swing yeah. of the at-bat. I mean, Van Horn was just livid. And then he put the bunt sign on. He lays down a perfect bunt yeah. and gets a bunt single. So
yeah.
you can do it more ways than one.
I've got a saying that I say to my hitters from – I don't say a lot from third base coaching box, but my favorite saying is find a way.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can take a horrible swing, and you lost that pitch, win the next pitch, find a way, and he finds a way to do it. It's impressive.
Okay, I want to go through this before we get out of here. Our all SEC team, because this is going to be announced this week. The all SEC team will be voted on by coaches. There's not a media poll in college baseball. They're not like, you know, like college football, you've got an AP all-SEC team. College basketball, you've got an AP all-SEC team. There's none of that in baseball. But here's what I've got, Bubba. Tell me where you disagree and who you would put here. We'll just start with catcher. I've got Ryland Galvin of Texas.
What about Helfrich? No thought for Helfrich?
No, I just... the other catcher who I had that I was debating between, Helfrich, I think, probably comes into my mind like third or fourth.
Yeah.
But Galvin and Luke Heyman at Florida are really the two that yeah. stick out in my mind. And then there's one at Oklahoma, Carmichael, who's been really good this year. But Galvin, you look at his number one, I think he calls his pitches, and that mm-hmm. Texas pitching staff has been really good this year.
Yeah.
I think you keep that you take that in consideration. He's got pretty good power numbers. I think he's got like 14, 15 home runs. He was batting 320 as of a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what his batting average is now, but I think he's had a really good year.
Yeah, it's a good one. I look at what Helfrich brings to this team, and I guess you can't throw all that in, but watching him game in and game out, what he brings to this team is
he's pretty, coming on.
It's pretty impressive. Got off to a little bit of a slow start, but what he's done lately.
I know he's a different hitter, and he's a totally different player. Doesn't it remind you a little bit though of what Michael Turner did mm-hmm. toward the end of
yeah.
you know, and like you said with Turner, he came on after the SEC tournament, but I think you could even see it maybe a little bit at the end of the regular season, like his at bats were getting a little bit better. And then obviously he just got hot in the regional.
Yeah.
There's something about when your catcher gets hot that it yeah. just the whole team feeds off of that.
And not to take anything away from Michael Turner, but I mean, Helfrich, when he gets on the bases, he's a threat on the bases.
Yeah,
I mean,
he is.
Can go first to third. He can steal a base.
I bet he was sore after they picked him off yeah. like seven times in one at bat the other day.
I was getting so frustrated. Now, I will tell you, as a hitter standing there, when a dude keeps picking, it makes you mad. Now, does it get you away from your game plan? Usually not, but sometimes I got so mad when a guy would pick, and then you're like, okay, is he even going to throw the ball? And then he throws it. But yeah, you gotta rule that out.
All right, first base, I went with Jared Jones of LSU. I had a hard time going between him and Andrew Fisher at Tennessee.
Okay, so I know Jared Jones gets all the pub. I like Fisher. I really do. The guy can flat out hit. I don't know. I love you, but I disagree there. I would have gone with Fisher. And I guess because Jared Jones, really, we shut him down. He doesn't do a whole lot against us. Now, the rest of the league, he's got good numbers. He's hitting against somebody, but he ain't hitting against us. And
he hit against South Carolina over the weekend.
He hit like a, you and me would hit against South Carolina.
Well, maybe half of us would. I think he hit like a 440-foot home run. They said it landed in the parking lot.
Well, and what about first base? I know he made a couple blunders at first base against us, misreads on that little slow roller between pitcher's mound and at first. It's a tough read, but I don't know. I think Fisher, when he steps up to the plate, you're like, man, how do you get this guy out? And if you make a mistake, he hammers it. I'd go with Fisher.
Jones has had a lot of big hits for a really good team. I think that's one of the things that stands out in my mind. When they beat Tennessee, I mean, he ends a 6-run ninth inning, hits a ball like 430 feet over the top of the batter's eye. I mean, he just there's a clutchness to him this year, I think, in some of their big games that stood out to me. But again, like I said, I struggled a lot between him and Fisher. Second base, I think that's probably the weakest position in the SEC when you just look, you know, top to bottom. I went with Daniel Dickinson at LSU. His numbers are pretty good. Third base, I would say, is right there with second in terms of I don't know that there's just a lot of great candidates at third. I went with Ace Reese, though, at Mississippi State. He's hitting like 340-something, I think. I mean, he's been really good for them this year. Shortstop, Vahivo Aloy. I think that's pretty explanatory. There are a lot of good shortstops. Could have gone with Justin LeBron. Could have gone with Colby Shelton at Florida. That's a very deep position in the SEC. And then going to the outfield, this was one where I think it was tough too because you had to leave a lot of, you know, some players off the list. I went with Davlin, Ike Irish at Auburn, and Robbie Burnett at Georgia.
Yeah, that's three really good picks. I mean, it's tough when you start talking outfielders because there's some dudes. Who's the center fielder for Georgia?
Is that Burnett?
No.
I thought Burnett was their center fielder. Maybe I've got that wrong.
Maybe I got the wrong team.
Well, anyway. Yeah, I went with Burnett at Georgia. He's got good numbers. Are you talking about Zaborski at Georgia?
No, maybe it's not Georgia.
Okay.
Maybe I got the teams confused.
Okay. Well, DH was a tough one because you had to pick between Cahillo, who leads the SEC in RBI, and Zaborski, who's up there as one of the league leaders in home runs. I went with Cahillo probably a little bit because I've seen him every game. But again, that's a tough one. Utility, I went with Noah Sullivan from Mississippi State. And then if you really want to get like the most difficult position to pick, it's starting pitchers. If you got to pick three starting pitchers, how do you pick between Liam Doyle, Cade Anderson, Kyson Witherspoon at Oklahoma, and Anthony Ianson at LSU?
It's tough. Well, and then you got Peterson at Florida.
Yeah, his numbers aren't great, but I mean, when he's on, as we saw when Arkansas played him, he's phenomenal.
Yeah, I guess I go more to him.
I mean,
how they did against us.
Who's the lefty at Hunter Elliott at Ole Miss? I mean,
yeah,
you don't even consider him, and he's having a pretty good year for them. So, it's the starting pitching's amazing. I ended up going with Doyle, Cade Anderson, and Kyson Witherspoon, which means I had to leave Anthony Ianson off, and it's just how do you do it? Ianson may be an All-American this year, and he may not be a first-team All-SEC player.
Okay, I was wrong. It's Nathan Hall from South Carolina.
Okay.
Center fielder. I thought the guy's a stud. I mean, moved well in the outfield, swung it. Dude's going to be a big-time player. I think he'll play in the big leagues.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember him or not. There wasn't a lot to remember from South Carolina, but, you know, Petra gets all the attention, but I think that dude's going to be really good. So –
maybe in a different uniform next year.
Just
I wonder about some of these guys, you know, who play on teams that don't win, like a Justin LeBron.
Yeah.
If he got in the transfer portal, imagine what the market would be like for him this offseason. It'd be crazy.
He'd look good in a Razorback union, both those dudes.
relief pitchers. I ended up going with Dylan Volantis, who's been great.
Right.
I mentioned Will, who's got the number one ERA in conference play. Volantis is number two. And then I went with Parker Coyle because I think Parker, even though he did not pitch a whole lot of the year, I think when he did pitch, he was excellent.
Yeah. And if Volantis wouldn't have faced us, he'd be number one.
Yeah.
I mean, we threw up a pretty good number against him. what, yeah, right. four spot maybe against him.
It was a lot.
So yeah, he'd be number one, but he's tough. He's really tough, and they've ridden him hard this year. He's got a lot of innings.
These were some of the players.
A lot of appearances.
Yeah. These were some of the players that didn't make the list. I mentioned Ianson of LSU, Andrew Fisher of Tennessee, LeBron of Alabama, Zaborski of Georgia, Colby Shelton of Florida. Cam Cosell, I think, has had an all-SEC type season. I don't think he'll be all-SEC, but he's had that type of season in a lot of years. Jace Laviolette, didn't mention him. Didn't mention Ethan Petrie, who's had a great career at South Carolina. I don't think this year's gone quite so well, and he's had the shoulder injury, too, that's kept him out some. That's a lot of really good players who you have to really debate whether or not their first team All-SEC this season. I want your answers on this. Player of the year in the SEC.
Fehiva Loy.
That's mine, too. He's one of eight SEC players, by the way, that got announced as a semifinalist for the Golden Spikes Award yesterday. Pitcher of the year.
I mean, I think you got to go – I don't know. I mean, probably Liam Doyle. Kate Anderson.
And I think you can make an argument, too, for Witherspoon and Ianson. I went with Kate Anderson. You look at his numbers, and a lot of his numbers are just a little bit better than Doyle's.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a wrong answer. And maybe I'm influenced by what I saw from him, firsthand the last 2 weeks. I don't think there's a wrong answer there, though. How about this? Freshman of the year.
Boy, I tell you what, Volantis. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if you can give it – if you want to give it to a pitcher. I mean, that dude, he's good.
That's my pick.
I don't think Texas doesn't have 22 wins if he's mm-hmm. not closing games down.
I mean, he may be the pitcher of the year. And yeah. So I certainly think he's the freshman of the year. So that's my pick. And then this is a tough one, too. How about coach of the year?
Dave Van Horn, let's go. No, I think what Dave's done with this team – has been incredible with all the injuries, moving guys around, but he had a lot to work with. Mm-hmm. So more so than some, wow, that's a tough one. If I would say O'Sullivan, if they would have started their run a little bit sooner, it's hard to battle back from 1-11, but, who you got? Oh, you got Butch Thompson.
I got Butch Thompson. And I struggled between Butch Thompson and Schlossnagel, and I'll tell you why. Schlossnagel, first year at Texas, they were picked to finish ninth in the SEC. It wasn't like people thought they were going to be, setting the world on fire this year. But they also kind of had a little bit of a Merry Christmas schedule. Welcome to the SEC. Here's your gift. I went with Thompson. Auburn was picked to finish 14th this year.
Yeah.
And they just flew under the radar all year, but they were just consistent. And when they would lose a lot of tight games to good teams. And, I think they finished, 16-14 in the league. That may not jump off the page at you, but to finish with a winning record in the SEC with a lineup that, quite frankly, is not up to snuff with some of the other lineups in the league. They got Irish, and he's a really good player.
Right.
But I thought what they did this year, I thought that was really impressive. So I went with Butch Thompson.
No, I think that's a good pick. I'd rather see Butch Thompson than Schlossnagel. I am not in on Texas. I'm not. They've got good pitching. They cannot. They do not swing the bats well. Now, they got a couple dudes that can swing it, and they're going to put the ball in play some. But I am not in on them. And I know it probably makes me look like a moron. It's a team with 22 wins in the SEC, and I'm not in on them. But I'm just not. They're going to have to prove to me that they're. I think their schedule is very friendly. I think they won a lot of one run games where everything late in the game went their way, and. I don't know. We'll see. I may be totally wrong. They may be taking home a championship this year.
Well, we talk about the teams that have got set up well for them. I mean, at Hoover, it's a big ballpark. If the wind were to be blowing in the way they've got their pitching, maybe they're a team that can win 3 in 3 days. We'll see. I certainly think that it's a setup this weekend that if you've got good starting pitching, you've got fewer rounds to go, it sets up well for you to potentially win this tournament. Arkansas will play 3 o'clock on Friday. We'll find out who they're playing here in a couple of days. Bubba, appreciate you being here. We'll talk to Ethan Westerman tomorrow on our show. We'll talk about Razorback softball and this super regional matchup with Ole Miss coming up later this week. Hope we'll see you at our website, wholehogsports.com, or see you tomorrow on our podcast. Have a great day, everybody.